Jesus said, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Your song is indeed Love Unknown. It's unknown because there is no love so perfect, no love so profound as the love God has for you in Christ. The first stanza of the hymn of the day that we just sang sums this up well. My song is Love Unknown, my Savior's love to me, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? And that's the thing, isn't it? Think about it. The Lord who loves you is the Lord who takes on your sin and takes on the sin of the whole world. His death is the death for those who turned against him. And as the gospel reading today shows, even people who picked up stones to kill him. Jesus died for sinners. So St. John, by divine inspiration, recorded what we have before us this morning. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, because he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." And so sin renders people foolish before God. You're no different. This is why love is unknown. Because in your sin, you not only not understand the gospel, but you can't stand to hear it. You can't stand to hear that word of God. So here in this reading today, the Jews knew what Jesus said. They listened to him. They knew exactly what he was saying, but they couldn't bear to hear it. So Jesus calls them out. He tells them to who they belong. He doesn't mince words, and there are no innocent parties in this world. They are of their father, the devil. And what do they want to do when they are confronted with the Lord of life? They want to kill him. They want to kill this one who came to redeem them. You heard a similar thing from Jesus a few weeks ago when Jesus said, "Whoever is not with me is against me." So these men are against Jesus. Those who remain in the stubbornness of their sin are against Jesus. Those who cannot bear to hear the word of God are against Jesus. And that's part of the foolishness of sin, which takes such a great living and loving God and utterly rejects him, wants him dead, does not want to hear a word out of his mouth. So those harsh words to them are meant to warn them and to warn you, calling you to take note of your lives and look at how you hear, how you view your Lord. You listen to Jesus and you ask yourselves, "Who is my father?" Now, the Jews thought they could answer that, with a righteous answer in their minds, at least. They wanted to claim Abraham as their father. True, maybe they had a blood lineage, but Abraham was not their father. They totally missed the point, and it's eternally deadly. They were concerned with the things of this world, and they didn't see where true eternal sonship comes from and who gives it. Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So Abraham, that same man in the Old Testament reading who was told to sacrifice his son, who trusted in the promises of the Messiah, who trusted the promise and God counted it to him as righteousness, that righteousness of faith, this is the one who saw the day of Jesus and rejoiced. In terms of the instance in the Old Testament reading, his trust in the promises of God was also a trust that God raises the dead as the epistle to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 11, as it comments on Genesis 22, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and who he had received the promises, was in the act of offering up his only son, of who it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So then these Jews who stand face to face with Jesus wanted to claim Abraham as their father, so their race, their lineage would be superior to others on the one hand, and they thought they were righteous before God because of their lineage on the other and their observance of their laws, but their unbelief was the thing that denied the very sonship of Abraham, their very place as God's people. Abraham looked to the coming Messiah. And even in death, Abraham is living because God gave him life. Now that very Messiah is right in front of their eyes, and rather than rejoicing and seeing his day like Abraham, who they say is their father, did, they sought to kill him. They couldn't bear to listen to the words Jesus spoke to them. No, they're no real sons of Abraham. Sons of Abraham cling in faith to Jesus. So where does that leave you? Well, the Lord is here. He's before you this day. He's speaking to you. And only by God's grace, through the eyes of faith, do you see Jesus for who truly is and what he has done. It's only by the Holy Spirit does one say Jesus is Lord. It's nothing short of a miracle then when you do believe the gospel. The very fact that you have faith in Christ is a miracle. But you see, God is in that miracle business. That's what he does, even as he himself has been crucified and has risen from the dead. He's worked this all in your life. Remember your baptism in this way and what God has done for you. Your sin has been washed away. You have been rescued from death and the devil. You have been given eternal salvation in Christ. That means God gives you that answer to who is your father. The devil is not your father. No, the Lord is your father. For you are baptized into the name of the Holy Trinity. The Son has redeemed you and calls you his own. The Lord has done this all for you. And this is the love unknown that you do know, that you do love. The Lord's glory is not in himself, but it's in your redemption. The people in the gospel reading wanted to kill Jesus, but it wasn't time for that yet. So he hid himself and went out of the temple. So I reveal the crosses and the images these last 2 weeks of Lent during this Passiontide. We still see our Lord, but it's veiled. And that's the way, the focus on our Lord's suffering for you. Jesus is that suffering servant. He is, as the epistle reading says, when Christ appeared as the high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood, of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So Jesus provides the sacrifice for you and is himself the sacrifice in your place. That's your Lord who is before you today. That's your Lord you listen to, because you are of God. You hear the words of God. And you hear and know that his heart was set on saving you, and that he did this willingly. This is the song of love unknown, but you see, dear Christians, you know this love, and you love him. Loving him is hearing his words. And all of this, too, there's a confidence as you behold Jesus speaking these bold words, because he did this all for you. And so God is most assuredly, most certainly your Father. As you sit here this morning, for you are in the Son. Who you are is found in Christ, who has redeemed you and covered you with himself. You know, today is also St. Patrick's Day. And I must admit, you know, we're not singing St. Patrick's Blessed Prayer today. Our head elder called me out on that, and so I have great reason to repent, and especially as having Irish ancestry. But we think about St. Patrick's prayer as fitting on this day when you see all of this and who you belong to as a child of God over and against the devil, over and against his lies, over and against his children who wanted to crucify the Lord of life. Every day, as a baptized child of God, as a son of God who called God your father, arise and bind yourself to the strong name of the Trinity. You call upon his strong name who has saved you, who will guard you, and who will keep you as your own. That is your strength as a baptized people of God who bear the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so knowing who your Lord is too, you also hear those words of the intro at today that have as the antiphon, vindicate me, O God. Defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. The name of this Sunday, Utica, comes from the first word of that psalm in Latin. Traditionally, has been translated as judge me, O God, vindicate me. There's different nuances to that. But you see, as God's people, it may sound a bit odd for you to pray to God to judge you or vindicate you. But as you fix your eyes on Jesus, you see you do so and do pray this because you trust in those promises that you have on account of Jesus and his work for you. You do so as people who are baptized into Christ, who hear his word, who cling to your baptism and can and do say to God for him to judge you because you know what he will say to you on the last day as you stand face to face before him on his seat of judgment. He looks at Christ and he says to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy I have prepared for you. You know this, for God says to you right this very instant, your sin is forgiven, you have eternal life. God is your father, and you are his children. So dear people of God, take refuge in Jesus. Take refuge in those words that he gives. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And that's true. Jesus said it. Jesus is the I am. He is the one true eternal God who revealed himself to Moses, who has taken on human flesh. He is the one who has promised of old, and he is the one who is your redeemer. Lift up your eyes this Sunday, for your redemption draws near. See and behold this great love God has had for you in Christ and still has for you. Baptized into Christ, you are his dear son, and your Lord is your father. That's astounding. That means everything. So rejoice, cling to Jesus. Ready your hearts for the coming weeks as you listen to your Lord's passion. Draw near to him. Find refuge in his wounds and see him vindicated on the third day as he rises victoriously from the dead. And all of that, see your salvation accomplished and given to you freely and fully. Your song is love unknown, but fixing your eyes on Jesus, you know what you have in this unknown love. Hearing his word, baptized into Christ, feasting at his supper, you have what Christ has won and what he continues to give. Forgiveness, life, salvation, now and forevermore. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.